Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from not one or two, but in fact three technology experts. And that's not just what we call ourselves, it's what our moms tell people when they don't understand why they have to update their phone every goddamn day. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two or three along the way.
And today we are joined by special guest star, Sam Cole from Apple Track. Welcome to the... I wish I had a laugh. Oh, he's got it.
Oh, wow. You're ready.
Keep it coming. Keep it coming.
Did I hear a boo in there? I thought I heard a boo in there. Huh. Wow. Oh, incredible work. So, Sam, I want to get it straight from the source. You're our big leaks and rumors guy. I want to get the rundown, because we've been talking about WWDC for a while now. But now that your podcast has ended, we get you straight from the source. What should we expect in about 12 hours' time?
Ooh. Honestly, I think it could go either way. I think this could either be a massive Apple event, which is what I'm hoping I think it's going to be, or we're all going to be like, damn, that's it. We waited 7 months for the first event, and that's all we got. Because the big thing is obviously, the redesign. But it's just like, I'm now it's the night before. I'm like, what if they don't commit? You know, like, what if it's just kind of the same thing, but it's glass now? I don't want that. I started YouTube in 2013. That was the last time they did a redesign. I've waited the entirety of my career for them to do something new again. And now I'm like, I'm scared.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because, I mean, they've tweaked it, but since 2013, there has not been a true legitimate redesign.
Nope.
Yeah, and I'm very curious. I could see, you know, like you said, going either way. It could really just be a little coat of paint. Everything is basically the same, but it's more translucent. It's more glassy. Or they could really fully commit and, like, change things fundamentally. And, I mean, as long as they don't do a bad job of it, I hope that it's that. Because I feel like we've had a lot of the same for a long time. And it could definitely be time for something new.
The other thing that it's time for that we've been talking about lately, I don't know if you saw my video, Sam, bugs. We need stability to be a top priority. And honestly, I'm a little bit concerned with the redesign, with what we're hearing about it being iOS 26 and like changing all the naming scheme. It seems like they're kind of doing another like, hey, here's some flashy new features. Don't think about the fact that Apple Intelligence is not like a real guy, kinda. And also don't think about the fact that everything's broken now. That's what my biggest fear is.
I mean, that's certainly... I think it's more of a coincidence that that's happening now. I don't think it's like sort of a, hey, we need to distract everybody. So I'm excited it's happening regardless, because they plan these out years in a row in advance, and the redesign was actually supposed to be last year. They were initially targeting iOS 18 for the redesign, and then they just didn't finish it. That's when we first saw rumors of this last year, and I reported on it at the time. I thought it was going to happen. Then it seems like they basically moved all their teams to AI, which clearly was not worth it because it didn't go well. And then, now we're here. I don't think they're going to talk. I mean, it'll be interesting to hear how they talk about AI. I don't expect for a second that Tim Cook goes, Sorry, guys.
We screwed up a little bit. I mean, yeah. I guess that's another question then for all of us and for the chat here. What does Apple do? Because 1 year ago tomorrow, they sat there and they announced features that still don't exist. And they now have to... I mean, they can't avoid it, right? They're talking about Apple Intelligence tomorrow. There's no way around it. How are they possibly going to bring up that subject without acknowledging the fact that, like, the personalization, I can't remember. I'm sure, Sam, you're the encyclopedia of Apple events. What did they call it? The personalization features?
Wait, what do you mean? Like last
like
year?
The personal, is it personal context?
Yeah. That was the official marketing. It was like personal, understand your personal context.
Right. And that, because that was the big part of Apple Intelligence. Like all the other stuff, the stuff that we actually have, is like kind of, yeah, I could take it or leave it, you know?
Well, the notification. It's all been done before. Like they didn't.
Yeah.
Everybody's done image generation. That started in like 2020.
Yeah. And it, honestly, just, the one that Apple is using looks about 5 years outdated at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's been out a year.
I honestly feel like the personalization stuff, because the rumors that we've heard is that they're still not ready with that yet. I think we've heard rumors that they're doing like the emoji mashups for Genmoji. That was like one of the rumors that I read, that you could like take
Mixmoji. Give it up for Mixmoji.
Oh jeez. Okay,
I hope those sound effects are built into your QuickTime recording, or I'm gonna have to go and add those in afterwards.
They are. I think they are.
Yay.
Well, if not, then that's
if not, then that's gonna be a fun evening for me.
But I feel like these features are like the things that they're gonna announce are not, there's, I don't know, they're like not that interesting. They're kind of tangential things. I honestly think that they're just gonna ignore the personal context, whatever. If they still don't have that ready and they talk about it a year ago, maybe they'll mention it again and they'll say it's still coming soon. But I feel like they're not gonna apologize. They could honestly just like ignore it and just to talk about, they talk about all of the amazing features of Apple Intelligence that everyone loves. That's how they're going to phrase it. And then they they talk about whatever new things. They say, we're making all of our users love Genmoji, and today we're making it even better. That's what they're going to do. They're not going to apologize. They might not even bring up the stuff that doesn't exist yet. They're just going to pretend that it didn't. They're going to do an air power. They're going to pretend that it didn't happen and just move right along. That's what I think.
I think you're right.
I think you're exactly right. And that's exactly how they're going to phrase it as well. They're going to say, our users love these new Genmoji capabilities. And today they're about to get even better. Here's Craig to tell you more about it. And then it pans and then they do a cool drone shot. And then he'll say, Apple Intelligence has changed the way that users interact with their devices. And this year, we're introducing a new feature to help you get more done faster. It's like, dude,
oh my God,
maybe Apple Intelligence created WWDC at this point. Because it's all like, you could literally generate a WWDC script. Honestly, you don't even need AI. Autocorrect.
It's true.
I don't know. So we've got the redesign. We've got the new, I am excited for, I mean, somebody who shreds my iPhone battery on a daily basis. We've got the new AI battery mode. That sounds pretty dope. Excited for that. It'll basically learn your behavior and be like, yo, what up? What up? What up? This is what you do. This is what I do now.
This is what we're like all about in here. No, I think that could be, I like that feature because that seems like an actually useful application of AI. And that I think that's kind of the crux. We've talked about AI. We've complained. Let's be honest. I've bitched about AI a lot on the show. And part of the reason for that is that I feel like most of the applications of AI that we have are arguably not that useful. I'm sorry. I don't know that many people who need to, you know, rewrite something to make it sound more professional, or who need to generate an image of Noah riding on an enormous dog who's the size of a Volkswagen and his name is Clem. You know, there's only so many uses for generative text and generative image or video. But what I think, we're in a weird spot, right? Because AI is the big buzzword and everybody wants it to be AI forward. But what you're describing there with a battery feature is sort of like an AI backward approach. The feature isn't, hey, look, AI. It's, what if we use AI to power something, but we don't necessarily need it to just be like, AI, AI, oh my God, it's AI. Holy crap, it's AI. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, I don't want to like rain on the parade, but I would honestly be a little bit nervous about it. Because
really?
I feel like we've talked on the show about Apple trying to, like, some Apple features that are trying to be too smart, like the AirPods switching. And we've talked about how some of those things don't really always pan out. And for AI specifically, I would point to the notification summaries, because, you know, when you have a big thread of notifications and it gives you like a little summary, on the face of it, that actually seems genuinely useful. Because if you have a big pile of notifications and you only get to see the top one, if you can summarize everything in that stack succinctly, that's actually genuinely very useful. The problem is I still have that feature enabled, but not because it's useful, but because it's funny. Like, it's almost always always at least confusing, but many times it's wrong. Like, it will misunderstand who said what, or it will misunderstand like the meaning of something. And sometimes I'll look at those things and I'll be like, what is this thing talking about? And then I'll go look at the messages and be like, okay, now I understand. The summary made no sense. The AI clearly got confused and didn't understand it, and that was completely useless to me, but it was kind of funny, so I still have that feature turned on. AI battery mode is less visible than that, but I still, I don't know, just there's something about it that when I hear AI feature, it makes me think about something like that that doesn't always work. So I hope that this feature can be a little bit better than that. That's just kind of what I'm thinking about.
I think okay. You're right. I think you're right. That is a valid concern. I think
it happens 2 years in a row, though. Come on. They can't. The AI stuff this year has to be perfect. If it's not,
that's true. I don't know.
Is it going to be, though?
I'm just going back to, like, how are they going to talk about Apple Intelligence and introduce new features when the features that they talked about last year aren't even out? Just
pretend they don't exist.
Yeah.
I mean, is that what they're...
What else can you do?
That just seems, like, laughably ridiculous to me. I mean, what's weird about this moment that we're living right now is I feel like the things that Apple haters used to say in 2018, 2019 that I would laugh at and say, oh, you guys are just being alarmist and ridiculous, now they're, like, actually coming true. You know what I mean? Because back then, people would say, oh, well, you know, Apple always says that and they don't deliver. And that was not true then, because they would announce something and they would deliver. And it wasn't always perfect, but if they said they were going to do something, except for AirPower, it was going to happen. But I feel like they've kind of eroded a lot of that trust. We talked last week about how the executives aren't going on the talk show live this year, which is, like, super petty. What are That's your crazy. Thoughts on that, Sam? Because I know that we were together when that news broke, and that was an interesting time.
I mean, it's God, I feel like the longer I do this, the more, like, insane stories I have about Apple PR. I mean, you guys were involved in one that I will probably share probably early next year, because the brand deal will be finally done. And it will be, I just don't want to say anything now that will jeopardize it, because it is a good deal.
But right.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've had experiences with Apple PR, like, blatantly lying and making up stories about me to, like, cover themselves. And it's like, oh, yeah. The thing with John Gruber, for people that are maybe confused, but basically he was, like, the original Apple journalist. Like, he started in the 90s when nobody cared about Apple, when they needed every ounce of coverage they could get. And they were almost bankrupt, I think, around when he started following them.
Yep.
And he was like, hey, I'm going to follow this company and make it my sole life goal to just, like, write about them broadly positively over the years. And then he writes one mean article being like, hey, this is, like, really bad. Why did you guys do Apple Intelligence bad?
Yeah, I should add, also, like, very fair and reasonable article to write.
Yeah. Yeah, like, he didn't go as far as what I said, which is, like, I was like, it doesn't really matter if they lied. It just looks like they did. But yeah, for them to be like, we're not gonna go on your show this year anymore. It's like it's like Mean Girl shit, dude. It's so fucking funny. It's like, you talk to Trisha. Well, I'm talking to Trisha, so we're not going on your show because that was mean. And it's like,
dude, I heard that you called Trisha a bitch. Well, we're not gonna talk on your little show anymore. Yeah. $1 trillion company, by the way.
Trisha was being a bitch. Like, what are we supposed to
expect, man?
So it is funny. It for me, it was honestly kind of validating to see that, because I'm like, People always think I overreact when I'm like, no, Apple PR is like literally a like proxy of childish beings. I don't even know if they're human at this point, but like they just like, and it's so weird. It's like the influence get involved. I would love to be at the event tomorrow, but it's also just like, it would feel weird after the year that they've had to show up and be like,
yay! No, right? That's so true. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be doing that from afar if they do something cool, but like, I don't know. It's a weird time. It's a weird time to be invited to be an Apple influencer because you just have to be only positive.
That's so, this is my next query. And look, I don't want to make any enemies. I don't want to call anybody out. Apple is the main problem when it comes to how they handle their PR. But
yeah,
I think we're all kind of aware that if you want to work with Apple, now more than ever, it's very clear, you have to be nice to them. So the people that were invited that are going to WWDC have been picked because they're sort of Apple safe. You know, they're people that Apple says, you are nice to us. You can come to our birthday party because you weren't mean to me like John Gruber was. So how are those people going to cover this event? Because, you know, like we were just talking about, there's the elephant in the room. There's a massive trove of features that just straight up ended up being vaporware. And that's not something that Apple has ever really done before. It's kind of a big deal. So if I'm a creator, even one who is in Apple's good graces, how am I going to make a video where I have to be nice to them? Do I now have to just pretend that those features never existed, even though I just excitedly talked about them a year ago? Like, it's a crazy thing that this company is just sort of expecting everybody to fall in line with. Like, what is it, run by Darth Vader?
Yeah, by the separatists or something. It's it is weird. I don't know how we got here. I mean, they're more successful than they've ever been. It's not like they need to be doing this. It's just I just hope within the next few years there's like a switch up of the PR team, because they are really tarnishing the company's reputation, and like a lot of the blame should be on marketing and PR for this Apple Intelligence stuff, because they're the ones that were pushing it because they had nothing else to push. So they're like, instead of just being honest of like, hey, it's an S year, you get the camera control button. It was the great lie.
The big lie.
Yeah.
They've never lied more than this.
Sorry, I was trying to avoid that. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Obviously, there's still that part of me that I'm like, oh, Apple Park is magical. The one time I was there.
I know. I've still never been.
I did go. My friend used to work there, and he took me for a company party. So I did actually go inside.
The campus is insane. Like, I want to be there for that reason. But
yeah.
Aside from that, it's hard to make content when you're there, because then there's briefings and stuff, and they just, like, walk you through everything. And it's like, dude, I can read the website.
Mm-hmm.
So
we watched the same video.
Yeah, exactly.
The same pre-recorded video.
Yeah.
Because like, I've had friends be like, hey, do you want to come be a cameraman? And I'm like, hey, respectfully, like, I am more than a cameraman now.
Yeah. And like, if you go to the event, you're going to be late to upload. That's just how it works.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's just like, the one time I went, it felt very weird. Like, I was obviously happy to be helping Andrew and stuff, but it was also just like this weird balance where they were like, oh, Sam can't use any of the footage that he shot. That is exclusively Apple and this person's property. So I was like, can I film outside? And they were like, I don't know, maybe. And it was just like the energy was just like, why are we acting like chill? Like, I'm making you hundreds of thousands of dollars a year.
Yeah.
Literally, my job is to promote your company. I don't get the hostility.
Yeah. No, that's – and we kind of touched on that a little bit last week, because I was talking about how on multiple occasions I have – made videos, uploaded them, and then heard through Twitter DMs, people that I know that know people, you know, it was sort of whispers in the woodwork, right? People going, oh, they didn't like that one. Oh, Apple's not happy with that one. I'm like, What is this, like, Whispers campaign Game of Thrones shit? If you,
it's
like...
It's the plausible deniability. They don't want it to be traced back to them.
I know, but it's like, why can't I engage in a dialogue with this company? They clearly are following everything that we do. You know,
oh, yeah, like, they're psychos.
And the thing is, and we're not trying to say that we're like hot shit or anything. You know, we're just a couple of guys. Apple follows everyone. Everyone. Oh, yeah. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to have 1 million, 5 million subscribers to be on Apple's radar. They are they are fully plugged in.
I mean they review everybody's I mean, like, I've heard stories where, like, they literally, like, the day after an event will, like, just watch videos for hours to be like, what did everybody say? What's the reception? And, like, some of it is smart from, like, a media standpoint because it's like, hey, well, how are people reacting? I've also heard stories and they use it for marketing. Like, for example, when the iPhone 13 came out, for years, I think since the 11, people were really like, hey, Apple needs to do 120 hertz. We should have, you know, this high refresh rate on the iPhone. And that was like a big marketing push, was like 120 hertz on the website, because they knew that people that would read the website were technical and that they cared about that. And they learned, like, they gathered that, they were like, oh, this is a really big deal for the, like, tech community in particular. Let's make this, you know, a big point that it's now smoother and better. And they learned that from watching videos. It's just, I'm sure some people there are great. I have met some people on the PR team are really nice and cool, but the problem I've found is that those people don't have any voice or clout, so they just get overruled.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, hey, I like this Luke Miani guy, and then somebody else is like, well, yeah, but he takes apart the computer. And then it's just, you're literally just thrown out for the next year.
Yeah.
I think it's it's like a big company, like, process kind of thing, that, like, even if there's a lot of great people in the PR team that, like, that are, like, cool, chill people, if they're following the protocol and the protocol says you do this bad thing and you're off the list, and they say, and even if they don't, even if they're cool, chill people, if they follow that protocol, then doesn't matter. You're off the list.
Yeah. Cause I think that, I guess what we're kind of getting at here with all of these anecdotes is that Apple PR kind of is a dinosaur at this point. It's a large machine with a very, very slow to react process. And I don't think that they're making decisions in the same way that they maybe used to. It feels very, very, like, hedged. They don't want to take risks. They don't want to go bold. They don't want to, you know, risk their precious devices or access to their headquarters and their events falling into the wrong hands. And so what they do is sanitize everything that goes in and out the door to make sure that it's exactly what they want. And to your point, Sam, keeping up with media coverage is smart. Every company should do it, and most probably do, because, you know, your most highly engaged users are the ones that are making videos, commenting on those videos, and those are the impressions that you should be taking in. But I also get the sense that Apple isn't just monitoring to see what people think so that they can learn from it. They're monitoring to see what people think so that they can shape what people think without actually saying, like, oh, okay, people don't like this, let's change it. It's more, oh, these people aren't saying nice enough things, let's change the person. And I feel like there's been a little bit more of that vindictiveness and trying to maintain this exclusivity while at the same time picking sort of new generation voices that fit into this sort of corporate narrative that they're going for. I want to bring up a comment that from a couple minutes ago. We were talking about how Apple selects the people to get their coverage. And I saw this comment here, because we were saying, oh, they pick people that are nice to them. I don't believe that is how they pick people, says Vincent. Well, I wish that were the case, but I mean, I don't know if we're at liberty to discuss the exact methodology, but certainly from what I've been told, that's almost exactly how they pick people. they kind of go around and vote on who's worthy, effectively.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. There's so many, like, Yeah, there's so much lore, but that's what has me excited for, like, maybe this dub, because I'm like, can old Apple make a comeback? They've had a really bad year, worst year since we've been doing this YouTube thing, and everybody's pissed off and everybody's mad. And the question is, can they deliver? Like, that's what I'm going into this with, the question of, like, can Apple come back from this? And it's like this event and then the 17. If the redesign is, like, ugly or just, like, not very good, that's going to be really bad. If the phones later this year aren't, and if they're just the same thing again and they don't redesign it, like, yeah, that's going to be bad. But it sounds like they are. It sounds like they're trying to do something. And I just hope that they do, because I'm going to be – I do have pretty high expectations after the rough year. This is the first Apple event in – November, yeah, basically October, November, December, January, February, March. It's been like 9 months since we've had a proper event. You're right. And
that is a long time.
There's been a lot that's gone down in those 9 months.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, like, to your point, I feel like it's been a rough year, and I feel like a lot of it's been things that have happened this year. Like the Apple Intelligence stuff and the iPhone 16 series being kind of a bummer. But also just like all the bugs and stuff we've talked about have kind of been creeping up over the years, getting worse and worse. And maybe now it's worse, you know, than it's ever been. But it's like all this stuff. And I feel like now Apple has the chance. We're hearing the rumors of the big redesign, and we're hearing the rumors of, you know, switching all the version numbers to 26, jumping ahead in the version numbers. I feel like you can't really... It's harder to justify that unless you have something big. If you have a big redesign to accompany it, it's still a little bit weird, but it's not as weird as an incremental update where they also jump the numbers ahead. I feel like if they can pull it off and they can have a cool new design that gets people excited again, because I feel like people aren't really as excited anymore. If it can get people excited again and they can pull it off, and maybe they can fix some of the bugs too. It's a tall order. And maybe Apple Intelligence, I don't really care about that, but, you know, it's a really bad stain on their reputation that they need to fix. If they can somehow pull that off, this is a make or break moment for them. I think that's kind of what you're getting at, but I completely agree with that.
I think that it's when you combine all of these things, having the change in the numbering style going to 26 plus the redesign, plus all of these, you know, the new features that we can get into more, it kind of feels like a big reset year. And I hope that that is an actual reset and not just a reset for appearance's sake. Because as you mentioned, Sam, a lot of the debacle that we're in now is because of marketing. And marketing kind of got a little ahead with themselves with Apple Intelligence. And they were like, oh, you guys are working on this, right? So yeah, we're gonna have all these crazy cool features, and you know, then we come to find out those features weren't even remotely ready. But marketing went ahead with that because they needed something for the iPhone 16. So that's where it remains to be seen. You know, as we're hearing all these rumors, it has all of the ingredients to be a really big reset year where we say, okay, we're changing the design. We're increasing stability. We're doubling down on our efforts. This is the big, like, this is the future. This is our new direction. Or this could just be another little marketing ploy to get people excited and kind of gloss over the fact that, again, there's not that much substance.
And I just want to bring up again, I think we talked about this last week briefly, the iPhone Air rumors for the fall. That's another opportunity for Apple to do something. The iPhone X was big, and they said that was the next decade of iPhones, and it really was. That was a big change. And if you look at the iPhone, I mean, for better or for worse, because it was a great change at the time, but you look at the iPhone 16 today, and it's not that different than the iPhone X. From whatever, 8 years ago. I know we're a bit early for 10 years, but if the rumor is that the Air is going to be this like really thin design, like the big new exciting thing. That's another point where Apple has the opportunity. If they can pull off a great operating system with a great design and they have a great new phone to complement it, and they can really have this compelling package for the next 10 years, like that could be huge. And if they fumble it, that could be really bad for them. So I think both the operating system and the iPhone Air in the fall, those are two things that I'm really looking at to see sort of the direction that Apple's able to go in from here.
Yeah. I'm very curious. We were kind of talking about features. We got a little bit sidetracked with our existential conversation here about the future of Apple and where the company is going. Sam, what are some of the features that you think are actually going to be like really useful? What makes this a potentially actually very exciting year?
I mean, there's a lot of small things that I think are going to add up. Like in the Messages app, we're supposed to get it, getting like the automatic translation and wallpapers, so you'd be able to like set a background for the convo. Like that's tiny and kind of a gimmick, but I think that is something that Android and, you know, Telegram.
I remember doing that on Telegram in 2013.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, there's that I feel like Apple is, you know, they're catching up there. Like Safari is apparently getting some big redesigns. I guess it's there. Only some of the features have leaked out. Like I think a lot of people, I saw comments on my video where they're like, "So this, you're excited because this is it? This is all we're getting?" And it's like, no, that's just stuff that's leaked. Here's a last minute leak. There's a whole new Photos app coming that nobody's talked about. Like they're fixing the Photos app this year.
Oh, thank God.
And yeah, like that's something that, you know, it's the night before. Fuck it, I'll say it. Like that's something that I've heard is happening, and it's like, great, cool, we love that. But it's like that nobody's been talking about that. So tomorrow it's like, that's, you know, and that's why I'm confident in this redesign. Like I know that they're going to make everything look different. Obviously they're changing the Photos app or the camera app. Sorry. So it makes sense to also redesign the Photos portion too. I mean, the AI battery mode sounds interesting just cause I feel like my pro battery life is, I'm starting to go down now that it's like, you know, 9 months old basically. And I'm excited for it to hopefully learn my behavior, optimize for how I use it. I mean, the markdown language is coming in the Notes app. Like that's something I use pretty often to take notes. So that's a small little quality of life upgrade that I will enjoy. I mean, as far as big, big stuff coming, we've heard about this like AI health coach or like new health app. It's kind of unclear if that's coming this year or next year.
Or ever.
Where it's going to be able to tell you how to be healthy, I guess.
See, that to me sounds like I'm just going to get a pop-up every random couple of hours and it'll just be like, your heart rate was slightly higher. You should work out more. I feel like that's going to... A lot of the features... And look, this, to be fair, I think is also just a problem with tech now in general. I feel like our smartphones are so good that it's hard to think of what else you could add to them. And I know that that might sound short-sighted. In the same way, I always think, every time I think, oh, technology can't get any better than this, I think about this story, how in 1906, the U.S. Patent Office considered closing down because they thought that everything that could be patented and invented had been invented, 1906. So obviously going around and saying nothing will ever get any better than this and there's nowhere to go from here is ridiculous. But in the short term, when we're talking about like iOS 18 to this year, I struggle to think of like anything other than, as you're pointing out, small quality of life features that would make a big difference. You know, back in the early days of iOS, you know, every year it was like, you know, we were getting big stuff. It was like, hey, guess what? You can use voice control now. And we now have a virtual assistant. And hey, now there's multitasking. And, you know, stuff like that was big, big deal. But now it's hard to think of what to do next.
I mean, there's a couple new apps coming we haven't talked about. We got the new preview app coming to iPhone and iPad finally. That's really useful. That's something that should have been there forever.
Yeah.
Which is nice because like, I do PDF work a lot. And then the other one is the Games app. There's going to be a new Apple Games app. It's the home for all your gaming needs.
Oh, yeah. That's a...
Okay.
Dude, Apple's strategy on gaming continues to befuddle and frustrate me because the thing is, look, if you're talking about back in the day, 2017, 18, 19, when they started to kind of make a little bit of a push towards gaming, at that point, the Apple haters were absolutely right. They were not gaming computers. They didn't have high refresh screens. GPUs were not their priority. It just, they didn't have the right ingredients. But Apple Silicon could very easily be a viable, legitimate gaming platform. I think if I was Tim Cook right now, I would be looking to launch a console. That's my hot take. Because I think that Apple could, if they really put their mind to it, make some really incredible things happen in that sector. But the new gaming app that we've heard about sounds to me like it's probably not going to go anywhere because, I mean, with the existing games that you have on the App Store, half the time that I've said, oh, wow, this new game is compatible with the Mac now, I'm like, oh, well, I already own this $50 game on Steam, but in order to play it on my Mac, I have to spend another $50 to buy it on the App Store. That's like, they just want it to be their own thing and they don't want to share and they want everything to be done their way. It's just not going to happen like that.
I mean, look, to be fair, I don't think that's really going to change because we've seen even when the courts forced Apple to allow third-party payment processors, Apple still fought it and they still put up scare screens and there's still all that stuff going on. Realistically, I'm not saying that that's a good thing. I'm just saying I don't know if that's going to change. I feel like, I mean, the games app is realistically going to be, they're going to take the Apple Arcade tab out of the App Store and just stick it in its own app. And I don't know, maybe, and then they'll have a Game Center tab. And if anyone actually cares about Game Center, I guess you can do Game Center stuff in there. And I don't know if it's going to be much more than that. And I feel
you know me, I'm a big Game Center guy.
To be completely honest with you, I feel like Apple could invest more in gaming if they wanted to, but like Apple Arcade is sort of their gaming thing that they're actually doing, and that clearly appeals to more casual gamers, which makes sense because Apple makes consumer hardware, and so they would pick games that you know, the majority of their customers would want to play, and I feel like it might be I resubscribed. I got another free month just so I could play Balatro on my phone, but I'm gonna cancel it after that because I'm not really I'm not really a game kind of person. But I feel like that's sort of where Apple is. They have the hardware. They could do it if they really wanted to. But I feel like if they can't even get like core features like AI and like bugs fixed in their thing, I don't know if it's wise for them. They could take the Apple TV and repurpose it. They could do it. I don't know if it would be wise for them to do it if they aren't going to do that other stuff first.
That's a good point. You know, this is all kind of making me think. I'm analyzing all the past Apple events that we've gotten recently. And I feel like for many of them, how would I phrase this? I think that what I've noticed from people in chat and from the way that we talk about these features is a lot of the announcements recently have been somewhere in the vicinity of like, hey, this is a cool idea, but it's not, you know, super duper game changing, all the way down to like, okay, I guess, right? So my question is, what was the last time that you guys remember, and I want like a specific detail or a moment, what was the last time that you guys watching an Apple event had like a wow moment, had a moment where you saw something and you went, oh, that's a really good feature. That's a really good product.
Bro, every Apple event ever. What do you mean? There's always something cool.
How about the last?
Well, I guess event? I'm talking
about last dub.
Yeah.
I mean, Apple Intelligence, I was like, wow, they figured it out. I was wrong, but it felt like that at the time.
Really? Well, okay, so then let me rephrase to then include, like, when was the last time that you feel that Apple executed really successfully a fantastic idea? I'm talking about something, like, I know. Every single Apple event, there are things that are good and exciting. I don't deny that. But I'm talking like a really big like Apple moment. When was the last time?
September 2024. And you're not gonna know what I'm going to say.
Okay, wait. Let's try to guess. So September 24 for the iPhone event.
iPhone event. There's something they announced there that I think genuinely is like...
Was it something about the Apple Watch?
Nope.
Something about the iPhone?
Nope.
Not an iPhone.
What else did they announce?
There's one other category they talked about at that event.
AirPods?
Oh, the hearing aid.
The hearing aid?
The hearing health stuff with AirPods. That stuff is like actually really... I mean, we've used it at concerts together, so we know.
Yeah.
But it's actually really good. That was something where like it was... I was like, oh, that's really cool. And then I've used it and I'm like, oh, this is like... great. I feel like it's slightly cooler than wearing like earplugs. I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy.
What would yours be, Noah?
I'm trying to think. I feel like the big one, maybe there's one more recent. The big one for me would probably be Apple Silicon, the announcement and all that. And then obviously they executed it really well. I think some of the redesigns that they've done, I mean, the MacBook Pro, the MacBook Air, I mean, all the redesigns that they did for the Apple Silicon were like pretty great, but like not as big. I feel like the big wow would have been, I guess, Apple Silicon or maybe the MacBook Pro since I have one.
Really
good. That was a few years ago now.
Yeah, five. Exactly five.
Oof. That's
crazy. Old. You are. Sorry. I was going to say the Mac Mini, but then I realized that wasn't actually technically an Apple event. So in terms of like Apple events, honestly, I think I would also go for Apple Silicon. I think that was the last time that Apple really changed the game. I think that the hearing like stuff is really cool, but in terms of like game changing, oh, this is a new era almost. Apple Silicon is definitely that, and they completely shook up the entire space. I would also argue, this might be a hot take, I still think Vision Pro is one of the coolest events that we've had in a long time.
The event itself?
Yeah. And that launch, even though, look, even though Vision Pro is kind of weird and they didn't commit all the way, that was still the most like anticipation and excitement that I felt for an Apple product in a long time. Like, I don't know, dude. The iPhones that come out every year, I'm kind of like, okay, cool. Those are nice features. I'm excited for it. But that was like, the Vision Pro was the last time that I was like counting down the days.
I agree, yeah, but did they execute?
Your question, yeah, thank you, Noah. The question was, would they execute on? Because I agree. Well, I've never been so excited in that lead up to Vision Pro, and I've also never been so fucking disappointed after when I...
Yeah.
There's footage I'm still sitting on. I'm probably never going to use it at this point, but it was me and Noah filming the day it came out. And I remember just one point, I'd been using it for 20 minutes, and I looked at Noah, and I was just like, this is a... Huh. Like I never had that with any other Apple product where I was just kind of like, it's kind of glitchy and weird. Like, this feels like a beta, where I did not have that with the Apple Watch. A lot of people talk about, oh, the first gen Apple Watch was so rough. You don't even remember that. No, I remember that. I was also mad excited. I could not believe I got it a week late. And I've been wearing the watch every day since the second I got one. There's not been a day that has gone by in a decade of my life without the Apple Watch. And I use it every day. It's an incredible product. Like, that is something they delivered on. Even the first gen was, for me, more than enough for a good watch. And the Vision Pro is not that. The Vision Pro is... What is the one good thing a VR headset can do? Gaming? Oh, we don't do gaming.
Yeah. All right.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this year,
they looked at a segment that was entirely focused on gaming, and they said, we're going to do a non-gaming gamer thing.
Are you guys excited for the PSVR controller support they're going to talk about this year?
I'm interested about that. So how is that going to is that going to be like a game streaming type of thing where like you can use the Vision Pro as an accessory and play PlayStation games?
Like, I think it's just going to be like that is going to be like the official Apple controller for playing games. Like they're going to be like, hey, developers can now use these new APIs that integrate with the controllers to create custom experiences with the Vision Pro headset. Like, okay, we're going to get VR games that just Apple doesn't want to make their own controller. So they're basically like, hey, we're going to partner with Sony for it.
Okay. Interesting. Honestly, I think that's the wrong approach. I think if I was Apple and I saw what happened with Vision Pro and, you know, Vision OS 26 is coming out pretty soon. So they're really cracking away on it. The thing just came out a year ago. They're already at 26. Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
It's crazy.
If I was Apple and I'm working on Vision Pro and Vision OS, I think my sort of post-mortem, and this is, I'm working on a video for this later, but, you know, this is a slight spoiler for that. My post-mortem is I think Apple picked the wrong use of a headset. They wanted to make the computer the headset, and it's all self-contained and everything lives in there. I think that they should have leaned more into the headset as an extension of other things. Because what does everybody point to as the two best features of Vision Pro? One, watching movies. Two, extending your laptop display. Those are the two things that most people will say if you ask them to list what are the best features of this product. And I feel like this, you're kind of underscoring it with like, okay, sure, we could use this controller with games developed for Vision Pro. Sure. I feel like the lower hanging fruit that would be more exciting to me would be, we are going to let you connect to your PlayStation and use Vision Pro as a 3D display for it. Or honestly, could just be as a big virtual screen and you use your controller and it's literally just like an AirPlay situation. I feel like that would be an easier product and it would be something that I would use more. Like, imagine you plug in your PlayStation, you get in bed or on the couch, you set that screen up exactly where you want it, you've got your controller in hand, and you just go. That sounds appealing. I don't know about... I feel like there's going to be three kind of weird games that they'll announce with this controller support, and I'll download them, play it for about 30 minutes, not really get that into the game because it's not the game that I want to play, and then put it down and never use it again.
Well, maybe, but if you get a good game, maybe the games are good.
But if they're developed just for Vision Pro, I almost guarantee that they're going to be some little, like, Apple just went to a developer. They said, hey, can you guys, if we throw some money at you, can you develop a game for this? Nobody developing high quality, incredible games is saying, oh, let's make this for Vision Pro. That's a good financial decision. That's the problem. You got to start the other. That's Apple's trying to go about this the opposite direction. They're trying to say, hey, here's this crazy cool platform, build games for it. But there's no users on it. So why would anybody do that? They have to do it the other way around. They have to say, hey, these games that you know and love are better on Vision Pro, and now that there's a bunch of people using it, we can start to add features for it. That's what they should be doing.
I agree, but I feel like the problem with Vision Pro, it's, first of all, the price. That's going to lock most people out of it. And even if you can get over the price, it's the fact that it's like big and bulky and uncomfortable and the battery life sucks and you have a battery like dangling off of it. Like, it's just, and I kind of agree to your point where you're talking about using it as like an extension of something else, as like an AirPlay kind of thing. That would probably also allow them to make it thinner and light, like less heavy and less bulky. And maybe it would help with the battery life. Maybe it wouldn't. I don't know. But like, whatever way you slice it, if they're going to do that or it's going to be a self-contained thing, I feel like it's just out of reach of most people, because like a lot of people can't afford it. And even if you can afford it, are you really going to like pay that money to get that thing? Like, I feel like that's really the fundamental problem with the Vision Pro right now.
Yeah, VR headsets are a dead end.
Yeah. But somebody pointed out here, Vincent again, saying, I don't believe Apple think VR is the future. They think AR is the future. And I do agree with that. I think that is their goal. The problems that Noah mentioned, though, are still that the main obstacle. Expensive, uncomfortable. Honestly, I don't think there's anything that Apple can do to make that product sell better. I think that's I tried to think about it. I was like, okay, what features could they add? What software? What would make it useful? At the end of the day, I think those things, Noah, it's a dead end. There's $3,500, and after 20 minutes, you want to take it off. That's it. Dead end. When Sam put on that Apple Watch in 2015, he said, hey, I like this. And it wasn't an uncomfortable thing. It wasn't something that you needed to take off. So that inherently makes it way, way more appealing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like those are the two things. The price and the comfort are the things that have to be, like, you can't do, like, whatever else you do isn't going to matter if you can't do those two things. But I'll also say, I don't know if you guys watch any of Google I.O., but they talked about the Android glasses. So they're doing, like, Android XR and their glasses. It's not a headset. It's, like, you know, a glasses style kind of thing. And they did a live demo. And they had, like, navigation and live translation and maybe one or two other things. But, like, I was more excited or more interested watching that than the Vision Pro. Because, like, not that I'm, like, dying to have, you know, AR glasses. But, like, that seems a lot more useful to me than the Vision Pro. I feel like Apple was kind of – they were trying to make something that was more AR, but they're – packaging and presentation is more VR, and it kind of clashes. It's a headset. It's very big and bulky, and it locks you out from the world. But the stuff that you're doing on it is the kind of stuff that's AR that you wish you had glasses to do it on. I feel like that's the disconnect. Yeah.
You're exactly right. I really think that Apple should – I think they need to abandon the headset. Straight up, that it's just not going to be the way. You're never going to be able to get enough compute and enough battery in that thing, especially with it having screens. It's never going to work that way. I'm sorry. The only path forward for Apple, I think, is it needs to be kind of like an Apple Watch. It needs to be an accessory that is using power from somewhere else so that it doesn't have to do a bunch of compute. Like the Apple Watch was at first. And it needs to be, I mean, they need a transparent display. The cameras being the way to see the world just doesn't work. I pulled out Vision Pro and I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put them on. I made it 35 minutes before I was like, my field of view is obstructed. Everything is grainy. Every LED light is flickering in my peripheral vision and my head hurts. No feature they could add is going to change those facts. That's a hardware limitation of the product. And they could make the cameras 10 times better. It's still cameras. The only way to make that product is glasses with a transparent display. And I think Apple could do it. I really do. I want them to do it because I that is something that every movie, every Michael Bay movie since 2002 has had people going like this with cool glasses on and digital things and holograms. I feel like that is the one vision of technology that has never been able to be realized. We have Jarvis, okay? We've got the app that talks to you. We've got the AI that tells you stuff and makes up pictures. We've got all of that stuff, but we've never had holograms. And that's what Apple needs to do if they want to take AR seriously. That's the only way to do it. Sorry.
Dude, the thing is, like, I don't know. Apple's Vision Pro even shook my confidence in AR.
Yeah.
Just because I don't know. What do you do in AR? Okay, navigation, I guess it gets cool, right? But, like, okay, message. What do I... Like, I don't know. It just seems kind of... am I just going to be, like, in front of you guys being like, no, that's, like, insane. Like, even
that's
the
true.
Like, you know, you, it's the same as being on your phone. You're not going to, like... I don't know. I just... I thought the Vision Pro was going to, like, blow my mind and open me to a whole new world, and it just kind of made me say, like,
Interesting.
I don't know if this whole AR, VR thing is... I mean, again, maybe. I mean, that's why I'm not taking, like, a hard there's no way, but... I mean, apparently Apple's doing glasses next year. Apparently they're doing the lightweight glasses next year. It's going to do basic stuff, and it's going to be like the Meta Glass competitor. I don't know.
Sounds... 4 years late.
Well, I mean, that's Apple, though. That's what we expect now. They're never the first, usually.
So here's an interesting philosophical thought. Is it possible that AI and AR... are arriving as a sort of what we have always envisioned as the end goal for technology, but they're arriving at a time where the desire for that technology to get there has waned. Does that make sense? Think back to like the way that technology was portrayed in media from the 80s, the 90s, 2000s when we were kids. Even in the 2010s, it was hopeful. It was excited. It was, it would be videos of like, in the future, you'll be able to do this. And I feel like by the time we've now gotten to that, starting to realize generative AI, virtual reality, augmented reality, it's almost like the social tide has turned against it. And now people are kind of like, well, I don't know that I want that. I don't know that I want to be surrounded by the technology at all times. I feel like, if anything, people are kind of wanting to keep things at bay more than they were even 10 years ago. And that maybe the reason that AR doesn't appeal to you is because we're so connected, we're so plugged in, that the idea that this internet hellscape could escape from my phone and be all around me in the world, that's a scary thing. Keep it in the phone. I don't want it to come out of there. That's where I can keep it safe in there, you know?
Here's my thought. First of all, I do agree with you. I definitely agree with you. Things are so connected. It's like now you have your smartwatch and your phone and your computer and everything, and it's like you're getting bombarded with notifications and stuff, and it's like, do you really want that? Whereas it was different before. But I'll offer another potential explanation. My thought is, you're talking about this stuff being portrayed in the media and people talking about in the future you'll be able to do this, and it's very like aspirational and vague and whatever. And I feel like now that we've actually seen these things delivered and they're concrete, they're not what we wanted. They're not as good as what we wanted, right? AI is here and it can do a lot of cool things, I guess, but it also hallucinates. It makes stuff up. It makes a lot of mistakes. Other issues with it there. You talk about like, you know, AR. I think Vision Pro is very impressive technically, but it has all the issues that we've talked about. The cameras can be grainy, especially in low light. You can't look at like lights or especially screens. If you hold your phone screen up while you're in Vision Pro, it's like really hard to look at. And I get like, okay, you use the apps in Vision Pro, but like, come on, I want to glance at my phone for a second. I can't do that. Like, there's all these things. I just feel like when it's the idealized version that hasn't been realized yet, you're saying, oh, this sounds really cool. But the thing that we actually got, when it actually becomes real and it's maybe 80%, maybe even 90% of what we wanted, but it's not 100%, then you're like, oh, this is – now you start to rethink it, kind of like we were just doing. You rethink it and you say, oh, maybe this isn't actually what I wanted, because it's not exactly what I thought it was going to be.
I think you're right. You know, it's when something is in your imagination and it doesn't have to conform to the practicalities of the real world, it's a lot easier to get excited about it. But once reality sets in and we all have to kind of see, oh, that's how the real world is going to happen, then maybe it changes things somewhat. But as we're almost out of time here, I wanted to end on a note of optimism and excitement about tomorrow. as Sam is having a good time sniffing his microphone over there. I want to know what is everybody most excited for? You can give me
videos because I love you.
Oh, I love you too, buddy. I'm gonna watch your video first. Although, let's be honest, my video will be out before yours.
Many hours.
Yeah, because you edit much better than me, and I am very impatient, and I don't have that kind of focus. But anyway, why don't you start, Sam, as our guest of honor? What is the number one thing that has you going, ooh, I want that?
I mean, I want Circle Icons. But somebody's got to say it. Somebody's got to say it in this damn
That's all it takes and you'll be happy?
Yeah. I'm ready for the icons to be circle. Gurman says they're squirkle or like basically the same. Other people say squirkle are basically the same.
So wait, here's my question then. If they're still squirkle basically the same, then what's the redesign? Is it just like the glass and the UI looking more Vision Pro-y?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Which, you know, so I hope we get the thing. I mean, yeah, like just the animations, the liveliness, some fun, some color. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, if I know Apple, this is going to be like a great, beautiful thing. But I will say I'm cautiously optimistic. So, yeah, I would say that. And I feel like they're maybe the battery thing. I mean, we haven't talked about the iPad at all. The iPad is supposed to like maybe be a computer for real. That could be really exciting. So
that would be, yeah. I feel like at this point I'm not even plugged into the iPad news because it has literally been 5 years, no joke, 5 years that I've gone, ooh, this year is the year that iPad OS is going to be good, and then they don't do fucking shit. They're like, oh, how about Stage Manager? Okay, yeah. How about you boil your head? That's a terrible feature, and you should be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah.
They really said, hey, you want to multitask more? Let's make a feature where the window sizes can only use about 80% of the screen. Let's make our small screen even less usable. That's a good idea for a feature. Sorry. Noah, what are you most excited for?
Wait, before you answer... Do you guys think the icons are going to be circle or not? You have to make your bet now. Are they circular or the same?
Circular or squircular? The new game show on dark mode.
I think they're not going to be circular.
Fuck.
I honestly.
I'm getting the whole. Wow.
He already forgot all of his sound mapping.
What about you, Luke?
Well, I saw somebody in chat said they'll become cubes, so that's what I'm gonna go with. Now, honestly, I feel like the squircles are so iconic, but
Sam,
I'm going. But? I want circles.
I don't want circles. I think that would be kind of ugly.
Is this copyrighted?
Yeah.
Am I going to get demonetized? Okay. God damn it.
Jeez. Okay. All right.
Somebody had to say it.
No, honestly, I am most excited for the Vision Pro, the glass. Setting aside the circle or square, or squircle, I think that was my favorite part about Vision Pro. And
The software is beautiful.
Exactly. It's just beautiful. And the problem with Vision Pro is the cameras are so low quality, it kind of wastes all that beautiful material design that they did. Oops. But if that comes to the iPhone, I mean, look, we've talked about this before. I know skeuomorphism ain't coming back, but neumorphism, I really like. I love the details and the depth and the texture and getting that back after, let's be honest, 2013 to 2018, that shit was gone. I'm very excited about that.
Okay.
I will say, to wrap things up, I think obviously the redesign is the big thing. iOS has looked pretty similar for quite a long time, and it's time for a fresh coat of paint. Regarding the icons, I don't think circle would look great, personally. here's what I'll say about the icons. I love the macOS icons, and specifically I love the icons where it goes a little bit outside of the squircle. Like the Xcode where the hammer goes outside, or Final Cut where the clipboard is like a little bit up, and or the contacts where you see the little tabs on the side. If iOS had that, I would be a lot more interested than if it was just a bunch of circles. But I don't know. That's not the big thing for me. I think it's really the core sort of system, like the look of things, just getting a fresh coat of paint is kind of the big thing that we're expecting. And I will say also, I'm hoping that there's something unexpected, even if it's not.
There'll be something.
And I'm sure that there will be. But like, for example, Dynamic Island. Okay, it's not a big deal now. But like when that was announced and we had no, like we weren't expecting it at all. And it got announced and it was like really cool. And we're like, oh, now all these rumors that we heard make sense, how they're using the notch for all this stuff. And like the design looks really cool. Even if it's not that useful, it still looks, you know, pretty cool. So something like that, just something to kind of have fun and be excited about. Like, surely there will be something. Yeah. And I'm also looking forward to that, I would say, because that's always a fun experience.
God, that's... I'll be interested to see how this conversation ages. I'm hoping... I mean, yeah, either way, I'm excited to make my Vibeo tomorrow, but I am frightened, and I'll definitely, I mean, hey, please God, please don't make me deal with the comments that Apple fell off for another year. I can't handle it.
I know. And why do they treat it like a personal attack on you? They're like, yeah, you stupid idiot, Apple fell off, and that's your problem, Sam Cole, specifically.
I picked that boat, so I guess I go down with the ship.
I guess so. Here's my question. Noah, are we going to be on next week?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Sam, do you have any interest in coming back so that we can find out how this ages?
They're trying to get me in my podcasting era. My goodness.
You didn't have to do anything. You complained about having to start a QuickTime audio recording. That's all you have to do.
You just show up late. Talk for an hour and whatever. It's not that big of a deal.
I'm tired. I'm going to play pickleball after this.
Yeah, one of the me too, of the buddy. Show.
Jeez, Louise. All right, well, let's wrap it up then so we can be on our way.
Okay. So Sam will join us again next week to talk about WWDC, and we'll see how all of our hot takes aged. Okay. Very interested to see how that goes. But in the meantime, I have been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. We'll see you tomorrow morning at what time? 9:30 a.m.
Yes,
Pacific.
Sir.
9:30 a.m. Pacific, right here, 30 minutes before Dub Dub. We're going to do a live stream. We're going to make a bingo card. We're going to watch Dub Dub together and talk about it afterwards. So make sure to come back tomorrow.
And I've been you all. Apple fan. See you.
Wow.
See you guys live at the event. Guys, I got an email that Apple invited me when we were recording, so I got to go.
Oh my goodness. Nice. That's incredible. Right,
I'll see you up here.
So happy for you.
They said I can bring my two best friends, so you guys are coming as well.
Yay! Can we get a cheer? Can we get a cheer for that?
Yeah, come on.
Well, guys, this has been an episode of the Dark Mode Genius Bar. Genius Star.
All right, roll the credits.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
See you guys tomorrow. Please watch iOS 26.